criticism of Zimbabwe's President Robert Mugabe and the actions of his ruling ZANU-PF party is growing. The most recent condemnation comes from former South African President Nelson Mandela, who mourned the, quote, tragic failure of leadership in Zimbabwe on Wednesday. They were the former leader's first comments on the situation. President Bush also criticized Mugabe Wednesday for defying international pressure to cancel a runoff election scheduled for Friday.
Friday's elections, appear to be a sham. You can't have free elections if a candidate is not allowed to campaign freely and his supporters aren't allowed to campaign without fear of intimidation. Yet the Mugabe government has been intimidating the people on the ground in Zimbabwe. And this is an incredibly sad development. I hope that the EU, and I call AU, will, at their meeting this weekend, continue to highlight the illegitimacy of the elections, continue to remind the world that this election is not free and is not fair.
Opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai won the first round of elections in March, but withdrew from the runoff late on Sunday and sought refuge in the Dutch embassy in Harare out of what he says is concern for his safety. On Wednesday, he called for the African Union, backed by the United Nations, to lead a, quote, transitional process in Zimbabwe. He also emphasized that Friday's vote would not be recognized.
That our decision to pull out of this sham election was in the best interest of the people of Zimbabwe. Any election conducted arrogantly, unilaterally on Friday will not be recognized by the MDC, by Zimbabweans, and by the world over.
But Zimbabwe's Electoral Commission has ruled that Tsvangirai's withdrawal from the election last Sunday was filed too late and has no legal force. Meanwhile, at least 300 Harare residents have taken shelter from the political violence at the South African embassy.
My house is destroyed to ground level, and my whole property had been destroyed and looted, and my family, I don't know where is my family right now. Here I'm alone. My wife, I don't know where is my wife, my kids.
Today we host a discussion on Zimbabwe. We're joined in Washington, D.C. by Professor Gerald Horn, Chair of History and African American Studies at the University of Houston, and the author of numerous books, including From the Barrel of a Gun, The United States and the War Against Zimbabwe, 1965 to 1980. Joining us on the phone from Syracuse is Professor Horace Campbell. He's Professor of African American Studies and Politics at Syracuse University in New York, has written extensively about Pan-Africanism and Zimbabwe. We welcome you both to Democracy Now! I want to begin with Gerald Horn in Washington. Can you talk about what's happening in Zimbabwe and the coverage of it, how we understand what's happening in Zimbabwe in the United States?
Well, obviously, what's happening in Zimbabwe is quite tragic, and I would hope that some of the sympathy that has been extended to Zimbabwe could be extended as well to other African nations that do not have white minorities. I mean, for example, the statement condemning or questioning the Zimbabwe elections emerged from Swaziland, a southern African nation that is one of the last absolute monarchies on this small planet. Some might well question, why isn't Swaziland's human rights situation being interrogated and investigated? A scant year ago in Nigeria, the continent's giant, you had shambolic elections with hundreds killed. Yet that barely registered a blip on the international media, at least not in the North Atlantic. Many talk, perhaps understandably, about the fact that President Mugabe has served as president since 1980. But what about Omar Bongo of Gabon, a close ally of the United States, an oil-rich country in West Africa, which, of course, he has served as president since 1967, 13 years before Mugabe came into power? I mean, I could go on in this vein, but I think that the fact that thousands were killed in Zimbabwe in the 1980s, and yet he received a virtual knighthood from Queen Elizabeth and received an honorary degree from the University of Massachusetts. And yet today, in 2008, he is a subject of international scorn after, of course, he expropriates some white farmers, really bespeaks a very profound racism in terms of how this issue has been covered in the North Atlantic media.
And Horace Campbell, I'd like to ask you about this issue. It does seem that the Western media did not focus on Zimbabwe at all until the expropriations began of land. But does that deal with some of the land of the white minority there? But does that deal with the underlying class conflicts that are obviously clearly percolating and reaching a head right now in the country?
Well, thank you for having me on. And first of all, I would say that this platform on Democracy Now! Is a platform for the progressives, the left, and those who are involved in the peace movement. So our discussions on what's going on in Zimbabwe or any other part of Africa should be guided by how our solidarity with the peoples of Zimbabwe, with the oppressed workers of Southern Africa, and in all parts of Africa, can assist our own struggle in this country against all forms of oppression. And so comparing Zimbabwe's oppression with other oppression in Africa does not excuse the oppression of the Zimbabwean people by any means. I think Gerald is very right about these oppressions across Africa. But organizations in this country that are in solidarity with the peace movement across the world, that are in solidarity with the Zimbabwean people, should take the cue from the Congress of South African Trade Union that is calling for a blockade of Zimbabwe because of the oppression. And I think what distinguished Zimbabwe from those countries that Gerald speaks about is that none of those countries is representing themselves as being in the forefront of liberation. Robert Mugabe and ZANU-PF started out like they were Lumumba in the Congo, and they ended up like Mobutu, stealing from the people, arresting opposition leaders, killing people, calling homosexual pigs and dogs, and killing hundreds, tens of thousands of people. 80% of the Zimbabwean people are now unemployed, while the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange is the most successful in Africa. We on the left, in the peace movement, we acknowledge that George Bush nor Brown have any moral authority to criticize Zimbabwe because of the unjust war that they're fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan. But having said that, we on the left and the progressives, we must take the moral leadership in having solidarity with those opposition leaders, those workers, those human rights workers in Zimbabwe and Southern Africa who are being oppressed by the Mugabe government.
Your response, Gerald Horn.
Well, I think there is much to recommend what Horace Campbell said, but as a taxpayer to this government here in Washington, my first approach must be to this regime of George W. Bush. And I think we have to question the hypocrisy of George Bush, who is engaged in questionable elections in Florida and Ohio, questioning the legitimacy of the elections in Zimbabwe. But more than that, if the situation in Zimbabwe is so terrible, and I agree that it is, well, why is it that the Bush administration continues to send undocumented Zimbabwe workers back to Zimbabwe? There has been talk about a so-called genocide unfolding in Zimbabwe, yet you see the Gordon Brown administration in London not giving asylum to Zimbabwe workers. Who are exiled now in London. We talk about the Mugabe regime, but just the other day it was revealed that Anglo-American, the major transnational corporation with close South African ties and headquartered in London, is about to make a $400 million investment in Zimbabwe. Barclays Bank is in Zimbabwe. Rio Tinto Zinc, the major minerals conglomerate, is in Zimbabwe. It seems to me that in the first place, we in the North Atlantic should be focusing on these kinds of contradictions that we can affect, and as the African National Congress has said, leave Zimbabwe to the Zimbabwean peoples themselves.
I'm going to go to a break and then come back to this discussion. Our guests in Washington, Professor Gerald Horn, professor of history and African American studies at the University of Houston. He has lived in Zimbabwe. Professor Horace Campbell also joins us, professor of African American studies at Syracuse University. We'll be back with them both in a minute.